Welcome to today's episode of Profitable Word by Reverend Francis W. Albing, Lead Pastor, The Keeper's House Chapel International. And now to today's word.
Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. This month is our month of God Fest. And I want to speak to you about laying a great foundation for 2025, part 2. Building a solid foundation for 2025, part 2. Praise the Lord. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Praise the Lord. This chapter is a very loaded chapter. It talks about some of the concerns that human beings have, which in practical and real terms, as far as God is concerned, are already taken care of. But for either lack of faith or ignorance, human beings, especially God's children, we find a way to encumber ourselves with these issues. It talks about shelter, where people will lay their heads. It talks about food, what people will eat. It talks about clothing, what people will put on. And then it makes an analogy that even birds who don't have farms, who don't plant, don't sow, and yet God dresses them better than Solomon in all his glory, arrayed, because God is a responsible father. Praise the Lord. Tell someone that our Father is a responsible Father. Oh, in this service, we're just going to just enjoy ourselves. Praise the Lord. It says that in all the array of glory of Solomon, he cannot be compared to any of the beautiful birds such as a finch. Because God is responsible enough to dress the bird, color it, and then also feed the bird even though it doesn't sow or harvest. And so from that point, it begins to tell man that man should not worry. Because whatever we receive or we anticipate with worry will not add. So he talks about the fact that no man has added a cubic to his or her height or a strand of hair. So the key point there is that no one has added by worrying. That simply means that worry doesn't bring addition to the believer. Worry rather takes from the believer. It takes life. It takes worry will impinge on your faith. Worry will take your rest away from you. So it takes from the believer rather than to add to us. And so the Lord expects us to walk by faith, but in doing so, he says that we should trust him so much that we'll begin to consider him first and place him first. So there's a principle here that the scripture is trying to, you know, advance, and it's called the principle of the first, or first things first. And he says, but, you know, it was just making a conjunction, and he says, but of all that I've told you, he said, these are the things that the hidden think about. People who don't have faith, they think about where they will sleep, what they will eat, what they will wear. Like, they are so, so concerned and worried about daily bread. Daily bread. He says, you cannot be concerned about that because it's been taken care of. What the Lord wants us to be concerned about is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. So there are two lives every individual can have, especially if you're a child of God. You can be a pursuer of things that redemption has already added to your life. That's, you'll be chasing for what is not missing. You'll be looking for what is not missing, or you can pursue after God, his kingdom, and his righteousness. His righteousness is the work Christ has done. And the things will look for you. So at this moment, let's just take a station break and then ask ourselves, which dimension do you want to operate in? Whether you pursue things that are already added to you and they are not missing. I remember when I was in primary school, we closed from school. I was holding my sandals and my bag, and I was just looking for my sandals everywhere. I knew that if I go home without it, there will be woto-woto there. You know, so I just, everybody left. I just come everywhere looking for my sandals. And I comb and comb. And when I was tired, I went to the house opposite the school. There was a guy there who has a relative staying with my, where my mom was staying. And that's their family house. But the woman was married to someone who was staying there, and their son was my mate. So I went and I was just crying. I said, I've lost my sandals, and I can't go home because there will be woto woto, you know, and all of that. He said, ah, but your sandals is in your hand. I knock my head. I said, all this while that I've been, everyone was gone. It was a shift school, and I went in the afternoon. So everyone was gone. I was just looking for what was not missing. Very worried until someone pointed to me that what you are looking for is not missing. It's actually in your hand. I'm sure some of you have encountered such thing before. So you can actually be a child of God who is chasing for what is not missing in the first place. And worry is one of the things that makes you do that. Lack of faith. It's, in fact, the Bible saying that these things the hidden seek for means that the highest level of carnality a child of God can assume is to encumber yourself with where you sleep, what you eat, or what you wear. You can also be a person who says that I'm going to place God first and pursue what he wants me to pursue in him, in his kingdom, and based on what Christ has done, and allow him by faith to fix me. It's a two life, and you can't choose both. You have to choose one. And the scripture says that the child of God must follow the pattern of seeking first. Doing what? Seeking first God and his kingdom, and all other things shall be added unto us. So when a year starts like this, you will make a lot of plans. Everybody should have a strategic plan, if you like, call it life plan. You should have it. I believe that at some point in time, I'll be calling some people to my office to show me what your life plan is for 2025. Especially my pastors. Because it's like some pastors have vowed never to do well in this life. You know, as far as human existence is concerned, they want to be poor. They want not to have material resources. They don't make Christianity beautiful. And then they look very pious and very spiritual. And that spirituality is not attractive. So I want to see, because being a Christian and being a pastor, a minister, is not a jail term for poverty. You know, it's nothing. By the grace of God, though, you know, I am not begging for bread. You shouldn't beg for bread. Praise the Lord. And we are doing ministry. Praise the Lord. And we are not stealing from anybody, neither are we exploiting anybody. So following God will give you access into the resources of God. Now, the reason why he says follow the kingdom of God is because the kingdom has God, the kingdom has its resources, it has its principles, the kingdom has its own welfare system. Praise the Lord. So you can, some people can be in a kingdom and they don't see the God of the kingdom. But here, it is the kingdom of God. You see, the whole kingdom is about the person of the kingdom. So when you take the person of the kingdom out, Like the presidency, Jubilee House, it's not presidency if the president decides not to reside there. It's only the president can reside anywhere. And wherever he resides, his person would define that place as the presidency. Are you with me at all? So it is the kingdom of God because the king is in that space. And so when you come, your first encounter should be the person. Then you'll be accepted into what the kingdom dynamics are. Praise the Lord. So people now fixate on what the kingdom can give and not the person of the kingdom. And that's a very big problem for a child of God. When your view is away from the person of Christ to what Christ can give you or do for you, you are missing it. Your view should be, he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. Are you here at all? Looking unto Jesus. So you and I are supposed to pursue Jesus, look unto Jesus, make sure that what his passion is our passion. What his desires are, those desires become inform what we desire. And what makes him happy should now become our pursuit in life. So we seek first. The principle of God first is that you value God first. You revere God first. You place God ahead of everything you are doing. If you are here, say, I am here. So life, I don't know if we have the Passion translation or God's Word translation there. I would love to read from those translations. If you have them there, kindly let's read from those. But life is built on principles, not on how we feel. Anytime you are living life based on how you feel, you will introduce struggles. So there is struggle because we try to serve God based on how we feel. And to deal with feeling, the Lord introduces the principle of the God first principle, so that you will not bring feeling for shelter, feeling for clothing, feeling for food into your supernatural space. I don't know if you are with me at all. Are you sure you are here? Now, because of the God's principle, you can't put God first and be last in life. You cannot bow to God and bow to human beings at the same time. No way. Anyone who puts God first will never be last in this life. Now, but unfortunately for us, we have gotten to a place where we begin to see life more on the path of struggles than on the path of the blessing of the Lord. But it is not our struggles that bless us. God blesses us more when we pursue first things first, the first principle, the first thing principle. When we pursue it, he said, if you seek the kingdom, everything shall be added unto you. So you pursue me and it shall be added unto you. Praise the Lord. I mean, it's a very bad example to use, but I think it will work. If you want house fly, bring stinking meat around. You don't need to go and chase house fly to try to trap them. Just put poopoo there. Even the big one, the green one, will show up. Just pursue that fecal matter. You will get plenty of what it attracts. You will get maggot. You will get gems of all kinds. Because, you know, there are things that are materials that are magnetic to a magnet. And if they are in a space, you don't need to chase those things. All you have to do is to hold magnet. And once you hold magnet, it will magnetize all the magnetic elements around. Praise the Lord. Are you sure you are here? All right. So when you pursue God, whatever, that's why he added his righteousness to it. Because the righteousness of God is the work Christ has done for humanity. And that is what gives you and I access into all the blessings of God. Not even the kingdom of God itself. The righteousness of God. That he took our place in death so that we have life. He became poor so that we through his poverty might have abundance. Are you here at all? The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. We are well. Is God talking to someone now? So when he's saying that you cannot disconnect the kingdom from the righteousness of the king. Because there is the kingdom and the work the king has done to make you comfortable in the kingdom. So when you pursue the king and the work he has done, you have faith in it, there are things that will be magnetized to your person. But this world is a very complex world. Too many things are working for people, but you have to understand kingdom dynamics. It may be working for an unbeliever, but he doesn't belong to our kingdom. If you belong, like no matter the ECOWAS protocol, for free movement of persons, goods, even sometimes for residency and all of that, a citizen of Ghana still has some unique privileges. Like, for instance, you cannot deport a Ghanaian in Ghana. It's not possible. But regardless of all the rights that an ECOWAS citizen can have in Ghana, even when they naturalize and you feel like deporting them, you can deport them to their original corner. Like sometimes you hear that when they are deporting, they say a Ghanaian, a British Ghanaian. That's, we are about to deport you now. We need to check your route. We gave you documentation to naturalize, but now that we want to deport you, we are checking your route. But have you heard that Britain deported a Brit before? So there are dynamics for kingdoms. And kingdom citizens have some privileges. They've got rights. They've got some advantages. When you are comparing yourself to an unbeliever, you are comparing light and darkness, different planes. It doesn't work that way. An unbeliever is bird in air. Believer is fish in water. You can't compare. There are two different worlds. Are you here at all? If the bird, the unbeliever is operating with different sets of rules. And they can do so well because their kingdom is different. If you say you are a believer, what will make you to be at rest is operating in your natural habitat, which is the kingdom of God. And your first concern should be focusing on the king and his righteousness. Who is he and what has he done for me and the kingdom citizens? I was talking to someone who was married, and there were sister-in-laws, you know, they were doing petty things. That was just, the sister is very prim and proper. So the thing was just worrying her. He said, she's not happy in the marriage. So when we had a discussion, I asked her, does your husband love you? He said, yeah, he's a very good man. He goes, but I don't like his sisters. I don't like his brothers. And he makes me very uncomfortable. I told her that anything I don't have control over, I don't worry myself about it. I said, you cannot change the behavior of your in-laws. But your focus must be the focus. What is your focus? Even though we know that in marriage, we have married the family. The truth of the matter is that you married one person. And if you cannot focus on that, your husband and the love and the care he has for you, and you focus on the externalities around him, you will lose a man who loves you and has not done anything at all. So focus on your husband. Then I ask her, if your mother was misbehaving, and your sister was misbehaving to your husband, should your husband divorce you because your siblings are misbehaving? He said, no. I said, what is your worry? You see, you can just be in the kingdom and your focus is on the wrong things. Are you here at all? Your focus can be on the wrong things, especially things that are seen. So he says that we do not look to things that are seen. We have to look beyond things that are not seen. Because there is more strength, more power, more blessing in that which is unseen than that which is seen. Praise the Lord. I want to preach this message. I don't know if I have permission to preach this message. So, the first, God first principle is so important. Life is more important than things. So, if what matters to God matters to you, then your matter becomes God's matter. That's if you place God first, He's going to ensure that He's going to place your matter first. Say praise the Lord here. I can't hear you. Say hallelujah. So, when a year starts like this, it is the demand or the foundation you lay that makes everything pertaining to the covenant to work for you. You have to place a demand or you lay a foundation in God so that whatever pertains to the covenant of the deliverables in the kingdom can become accessible to you. So in the first service, we're talking about foundation, solid foundation. Because foundation is the most important aspect of any building. You don't see it normally, like this building, you can't see the foundation. All you see is this superstructure. And mostly you will see even the end product or the facade, the embellishment of the building. And we can keep changing how this building looks inside out from now till the time this building is not functional. But one thing you cannot do is to touch the foundation. Foundation has to be solid, has to be robust. Praise the Lord. Ask somebody, do you have a solid foundation this year? So foundation is the most important aspect of a building. Trying to build or finish a skyscraper without a foundation is a disaster in weight. That's why seeking God's blessing without laying a proper foundation is a predictable disaster and an effort in futility. You need to lay a good foundation in God so that that foundation will now give you a springboard to access the blessings of God in a year. Praise the Lord. We are going to look at a man. The name of the man is called Abraham. Genesis chapter 12 verse 1. Genesis chapter 12 verse 1. It says that now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse number 3 says that, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Praise the Lord. Then Abraham, look at verse number 4. I like verse number 4 so much. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Praise the Lord. So now when we are talking about the first law of the covenant or the principle of God first, what we are saying is that you need to value God and His word above all things and above all else. You need to value God and His word above all else. This year, 2025, Ankasano, you have to make up your mind that you will be a proper Christian. Like not a basa-basa Christian. Not a go-come, motromojo kind of lukewarm. I am in, I am out. I am responsive, reactive. Most Christians are reactive. You know, I'm a Christian when God responds to me. But you have to be a proper Christian like what the Hebrew boy said, that we know he's able to deliver. And even if he decides that he's not doing it this time, I have already sworn a covenant with him that I'm not bowing to anybody, any image, or any fire. That is, my faith in God is not determined by the things he does for me or the comfort he gives me. I have made a covenant that I have already put my soul in the hands of Jesus, and however he wants, he should just turn it around. Some people literally scare their families and God. If this thing doesn't go right, we are even afraid that you may backslide. And you have to make up your mind that I have placed God first. I have set him in my sight, and I'm not going to lose him. Teach my heart to follow you. Praise the Lord. So, value for God and his word above all else is the principle of God. So let's learn from Abraham. The scripture we read shows that when God commanded Abraham to leave idol worship, leave his country, his father's house, his kindred, he left. He left not knowing exactly where he was going, but he had faith enough to leave. Why? Because Abraham valued God above everything in his life. He valued God above value for all things. You know, sometimes you can have value for some things, but everything has a value. But you need to value God above value for everything, so that nothing becomes a competitor to God. And scripture is very clear, for instance, that you cannot serve God and mammon. And you see, God did not even say that Satan is his competitor. Mammon. Mammon. Do you know why? Because both occupy the heart. Love for God is an occupation of the heart. Love for money is an occupation of the heart. And this room in the heart can keep only one occupant. You cannot serve two masters. It's a self-compound for one inhabitant. So you cannot be here and here at the same time. If you are with mammon, stay with mammon. If you are with God, stay with God. Praise the Lord. Your heart can take only one occupant. So, you need to have, a white man says something. He said, everyone has a value, but everyone has a price. But you have to make a choice whether you can be bought. As I'm standing, I have a price. Yeah, for everybody. But you have to make a decision whether you can be bought or not. That's why Abraham, his value for God made him to value God above, have value for God above every other thing. He had value for God above the idols in the house, his father, mother, kindred, everything. When God said leave, he valued God beyond his own life. He left. Praise the Lord. If you are going to make it this year, you should have this mindset. What is value for God and his word? Value for God and his word. What does it mean? It also means too that you value God above value for self and personal considerations. First of all is what? You value God above value for all things. All things. Two, you value God above value for self and personal considerations. You value God above yourself and your personal considerations. That is to say that your value for God does not recognize your value for God, which is recognized by man, God, and demons. There is a way that you value God above yourself. You value God above your personal consideration that man will recognize it, demons will recognize it, and God will recognize it. It is so visible. You see, you can't value God. Place God above you and people don't see it. Even demons will assess you based on that. Devil will assess you. When God will see that, God said, I say, have you, this Job, this guy Job, is too much.
In all this east, the guy is the holiest and the prosperous. Are you here at all? He told devil, have you checked this, my guy? And most of the time, we are giving testimonies about God. But value for God above yourself and your personal considerations will make God give a testimony about you. He said, have you considered my servant Job? God was giving testimony about Job. He said, I know Abraham. Abraham, he would train his house after me. God could testify about Abraham. David also. God testifying about David said, he is a man after my own heart. That is, these are men who valued God above value for their own self and personal consideration. That is, if I want something and what God has said should stay, between what God has said and what I want, which one do I value first? Which one will have preeminence? Which one will have priority? That's value for God about personal consideration. Sometimes you have so much personal consideration for what you want that you damn the consequence of what God wants. That's why we're ending in a pit. But God first means that value for God above self and personal consideration. Number three, it also means value for God above value for people or human opinion. Above value for God, above value for people's or human opinion. Abraham left that house. I'm sure the father tried to stop him. He didn't. He said, "Da, with all due respect, away bus. Ma, with all due respect, away bus." Sometimes you're a Christian sister, and you know, some conversations can come up, and you see that your respect for human beings makes you to, you know, cast a dent on your value for God because of who is in the conversation. But when God is first in your life, if the Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar can rise to the heavens, it will still fall down. That you see God bigger and taller than any other human being in their opinion. So, in the book of Acts, the apostle said, between God and man, who should we obey? We have already put our value in God. You can beat us. You can try us. You can jail us. You can even kill us. But the truth of the matter is that we have so much value for God that we are not even afraid to die. We are happy to suffer with Christ. Value for God. People's opinion do not change anything about your life if it is coming in a collision course with the opinion of God and His word. You decide, you have to make a choice. And for me, it is not a choice at all if you value God. Praise the Lord. It's not a choice. We are here to live for. Look, this world, it has collapsed already. Because you will find out that we have become very universalist. Like, we can be in church, we can be in the kingdom, but everything goes. Yeah, everything, like, everything goes. All opinions of people can just give you any idea and you pursue it. Without considering God's opinion. So this year, you want to take steps. You need to consult God. And get His opinion above the opinion of any human being or the people. The voices can be louder and God may be the only voice saying no. And you have to listen to God's voice because God's voice alone is a majority against the voices of the masses. Praise the Lord. Come on now, praise the Lord. People have ideas though. Very creative ideas. That's why this is, you do a paternity test. And Charlie Matrickle Bebre. Very good people. But ideas is the reason why paternity test is backfiring. Ideas. Family member has come to give an idea. Friend, close friend has given an idea. And it can worry you so much. So what is value for God again in Abraham's life? Number four. It's value for God above value for personal comfort and conveniences. Abraham, value above value for personal comfort and conveniences. Leave this house. Go. Where? Just go. Hey, why will you tell me to go to where I don't know? At least I need to know my destination before I start my journey. He said, go. When you get there, you will know. Wow. Against personal comfort and conveniences. Value for God, again, is value for God above the value for the average man's value for God or spirituality. When you measure your value for God against the value an average man has as a measure of their spirituality for God, you should see your own very high up there. If your value for God is at par with an average spiritual person, you have no value at all for God. That is why it is not everyone in church whose counsel you can take. Because some people are here, but their value for God is very small. And we still want you to be here. Like they slept with you this morning. I still want you to be in church. Even though you are someone's side chick. I still want you to be in church. Well, we have better chance you being in church than not being in church. But we cannot take counsel from you. When it comes to morality. When it comes, are you here at all? There are people here smoking weed. Have I said when you smoke weed, you go to hell? No, but we know that your mind will collapse at some point in time. No problem. But with that colossious weed smoking mind, we can't take counsel from you. Because you yourself, you can't help yourself. And though you may appear like an angel of light, you can see that you are, in fact, you are a work in progress. Praise the Lord. I'm saying that your value for God should be higher than somebody who is a work in progress. And we are happy to have you. Bible says comparing spiritual to the spiritual. Yeah? You can't compare your value for God with someone who does not have value. How do you compare? You are comparing with zero. That's not comparison. You should have the proper value that you make. So some people, when they want to fail, they look for failure tendencies with people who look nice and try to do that comparison. But if you really, Abraham went to Melchizedek. He went up. Are you here at all? Come on, are you sure you are here? Jesus, when he wanted to, he didn't look down. He said, I'm not my will, your will. He looked up. If you want to compare your spirit, just compare up. That's why Jesus must be your standard. Is God talking to someone now? Now you are going to take some unbeliever who is born in left, right, center, and because the woman has money, you think that it's a format and a model for how a Christian should live a life. No. They have the money. We salute that. But when it comes to faith, you know, this week I met a lady and the lady asked me, do I remember her? And I didn't. Then I said, wait. Then it's a Muslim lady. And then I mentioned some sister. And he said, no. I said, no, I'm giving you the link. I mentioned a sister who used to be in this church. I said, this sister. And I mentioned a pharmacist. I mentioned this. And I said, so you are the one who got married to so-so? And so he said, yes. I said, wow. I remember when they wanted to marry. The Christian brother was here and the sister is a Muslim. I said, no, they can't marry. It won't work. But I like the lady. She used to come to the office. We have a chat. She's very intelligent. I said, it will not work. Oh, they did. And the brother left. Then they went and married. So when we were talking and we were parting, I said, when you go greet your husband for me, he said, Pastor, we are no longer together. He said, I'll grow away. I'll grow away. It will not work. It will not work. Faith is a major negotiation point in marriage. And the word of God is true. Praise the Lord. The way she said that, Pastor, we are not together. And she laughed. And me and we understood ourselves. I said, Kai, Pastor, suffer. I lost a member just for trying to prevent where we are now. And there are people here, if God doesn't help me, I will still lose. Because I'm just trying to let the spirituality compare spiritual with the spiritual. You want to say, person, me worry. I love him. Hey, love. Where in this life did love sustain marriage? Where did you see it? Love. This love that is for 3 days. It will go right now. You will now need other things to sustain the marriage. Faith will be a major matter. I want to pray to Jesus. He said, no, I should carry Quran. For where? I asked them that time. I said, so your children, will they read the Bible or the Quran? He said, they will make a choice. I said, no, children don't make a choice. You help children to make a choice. What would they read? Very intelligent sister. Confusion everywhere. It didn't work. But very good people. So, value for God will make you place proper spiritual value. You measure it with a proper measure. Praise the Lord. Someone is saying that praying is not necessary, fasting is not necessary, whatever. You have to measure it too. Because, you see, people have weaknesses, even though they are in the kingdom. And if you are not careful, they will even preach their weakness as grace to you. Meanwhile, the standard is Christ. That's why people are preaching that it's okay to drink alcohol. Well, we know alcohol is just a natural matter. We know. But the point is that the Bible is very clear on alcohol. Like if you take all the scriptures in the Bible about alcohol, 99% will be very negative towards alcohol. So, if you were doing a human research and your finding came out that this one, it has passed a chi-square the 99% interval matter. Your p-value will be 0.00000, not 0.005. It will be very highly statistically significant. 99%, 98, even if it's 90, it's very high. 95, it's very high. Me, my father drank alcohol. I know alcohol not by marketing. I have a direct relationship with alcohol. Alcohol. You cannot convince me. Forget what Bible said. Ha. We have a pastor in my former church. The mother was brewing alcohol. He was a young man then. He's older than me, but he was a young man then. He became one of the most important intercessors in the church. He's the pastor of one of the branches now. The mother was brewing alcohol in this barrels and then selling. And then the son, I don't know whether it's a smell there, gradually he started getting intoxicated with the brewery. Then, unknowing to the mother, the boy became a drunkard. Not knowing, he connected a tube to one of the barrels. The mother has been brewing the alcohol direct from the brewery to his room. That is alcohol buckery. So as the mother brews, he picks the tube. He has a way of putting it up so that he brings it down and is direct drinking. He will drink until he will become useless in his room. He will hang it. Alcohol started giving him picture. It took deliverance. You cannot sell hard liquor to people's children, and your children will not taste it. You can make argument, you can go left, right, center. They don't need to be there. When Abraham was lying that Sarah is his sister, Isaac was not born. That same brother, Isaac got there. The twin just said, hey, here, when we get here, we lie. We don't judge. So he also got there and he began to have the same fear. He said, my wife is not my wife. My wife is my sister. without recourse to that history. He just jumped on him. Bah! So me, when I was not even born again, my father used to send me, I'll go and buy alcohol. My stepfather would share alcohol bitters. Yeah, he said they put a lot of wood sticks. So that you see, I shook his wood. It was choo, choo, wow. And I'll try them. Till today, when we go for functions and they are drinking like palm wine and the rest, I know that the, what do you call it, the one that has not fermented, is very sweet to drink and all of them. If there is alcoholism in your blood, are you here at all? If snake has beaten you before, when you see gogome, oh yeah, away pass. I'm not going near palm wine. I'm not, no. No. For where? Yeah. They say it's very sweet. Okay. Oh. I know, it, mentally, I know what it means for something to be sweet. But taste and see. Ah. No. I can't taste it. Are you here at all? It's not a matter of, oh, you know, there's a way that you feel like your spirituality has gone up arm and now some things cannot affect. Oh, really? Really? Be careful. This year will be your best year ever in Jesus' mighty name. The guy said that, Charlie, everyone's spirituality can go down, but we are not bowing to any idol. Abraham just left. He left. Praise the Lord. That simply means that the guy also delighted himself in investing in the things of God. Genesis 19:27. Look at that. He said, and Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And let's read some more, please. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. Now, Abraham had made serious investment into his work with God, that his value for God was clearly discernible by society. So, when Lot was captured in his compromise for staying closer to Sodom, and a king came and just captured Sodom and captured, they told Abraham, Abraham went and just collected Lot by fighting. But aside that, when Sodom was about to be destroyed, Abraham had attained to a height with God that he was standing in the gap and making intercession. He was telling God, if you find 100 people, will you destroy? God said, no way, but we won't find 100 here. He came to 50. He came to 30. He came to, you see, one of the ways you know that you really don't have value for God, for instance, when it comes to your children, is that you are overprotective about your children when it even comes to the things of God. Yeah. Like, you always feel like you have a better hand of handling your children. So you even allow them easily into the things of God until you are comfortable. If you are going to raise your children based on your comfort for the things of God, like, I can't come and drop you in church. It's too much. Meanwhile, you go to the kitchen. Sorry, you go to the market. You go to work. But you can't drop your children for rehearsal. Children are going out. They are going to learn. No, it's like you can able to calculate in your head. And without a spiritual mind, you will find a carnal reason and justification to keep your children, because you feel like they are better off staying with you and at home than embarking on a spiritual journey. Brothers and sisters, God said, I trust Abraham that he will raise his house, including slaves he had then after God. They came with their own gods, but he said, I trust Abraham that he will give them his God. People come around you and they have no effect of your God on them. Because your spirituality is not visible. As we are talking right now, you still have some small things in the corner you are doing. And you see, if it is not here, nobody will catch it. I should say it again. You can look very nice on the outside. But what we really catch is what comes out of your heart. Because your heart always communicates with the heart of people. Bible says, spirit to spirit. When we meet, is spirit communicating without saying a word. That's why some people, they have not done anything to you. You see them, you see that you and them. The thing, it doesn't work. Are you here? Are you sure you are here? Am I preaching or I'm dancing? If it is not there, when you see a gossip, you don't need to say anything. When you see someone who is lustful, even their eyes, you will see that the lust will be emanating from their eye. The way they look at you, you see that something has left the eye to you. When you sit around a lustful person, you have not talked about anything sensual, you have not, but there is a radius of coverage around that person, that whatever is defilement in their soul just is emitted in that environment. If you are a man, you begin to feel aroused. You have not said anything, no? Or your mind is just going tingling. Because radiation is coming from the soul of the person to you. It's the same way that Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Are you here at all? And Ezekiel says that when I heard his word, the spirit entered me. So as a lustful person is speaking to you, see that spirit will start, whatever is in his spirit will start trying to have a connection with you. That's why you yourself must have a proper spirituality. Or else, as you stay around that zone for a long time, you will see that you start swimming like a fish in that environment. Because that kind of communication, Bible says, corrupt the spirit. It's too powerful. Praise the Lord. Come on now, praise God. Hey. When you want to marry this year, where do you place a value? The size of the breast? Size of the buttocks? Like, I don't know, it's not bad that you like a big breast or whatever breast size you like. So, even if you want a nipple as big as my fist, you can still get it in a body that is God-fearing first before the size of the breast. You can't make the decision from the outward to the inward. It has to be from the inward to the outward. Where do you place the value when you are making a choice? Just think about God first. Praise the Lord. When you are making a choice, do what? If you think about God, he said, acknowledge him in all you do, and he shall what? Direct your path. When you see a Christian God has blessed, it's beautiful. Placing value on the word of God. My pastor said, as a young pastor, my pastor said, don't take anybody's car, don't drive anybody's car. I said, yes, sir. Some of my friends, we received the same command. Some took, had accident, brought trouble. Some took, had accident. One of my friends, he had an accident to a point that, no, I black it out. From an accident from a car he took from someone, the father said, don't take. No value for the word of God.
in the kingdom, it's not what you hear that matters. He said, I'm looking for doers of the word. Doers of the word. You can hear so much knowledge without power. But doer, 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 doer. Tell somebody, be a doer. Be a doer. Father, we thank you now. Lord, we proclaim you now and your mighty power, awesome majesty. Clap your hands and bless the Lord. Sing it now.
Lord, we proclaim you now
and your mighty power and your awesome majesty.
Oh, stand against me? Is this a sign? Yes, I am blessed.
Yes, I am faithful.
Your presence with me, smaller than a thousand against me.
Yes, yes, yes.
This is a sign. Yes, I am blessed. I am favored.
Your presence
with me is
smaller than a thousand against me. This thing is settled. Yes,
I am favored.
Hindi mo si binigwe, ana si hallelujah, ana si hallelujah. Oh, everybody sing it out. Jehovah Melio, oh Melio, Imo.
To the one.
Part of our family on social media at the Keeper's House Chapel International. Visit us at the Testimony Arena, Jifamco Junction, Medina Estate. You can also follow Reverend Francis Obing on all social media platforms. God bless you.